Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Tanisha, host of Wine School Dropout. I am so excited to be back. Thanks to your donations, we're bringing you a season 2 that goes beyond Wine 101 and takes you behind the scenes with wine folks around the world. So many things have happened in the world since last season, so this time around, we wanted to go a little further, highlighting the voices and work of people that share something in common with me, people of color, working in the wine business. Whether they are crafting a wine in a country not their own or building a wine brand around their own culture, everyone featured in this season has a unique perspective on our Wine School Dropout mantra. Wine is for all. I'm so excited to share these fascinating wine stories, all from people of color. Welcome to this season of Wine School Dropout, Wine Around the World edition. Ever think you're not living your best life? That you can and should be doing more to live up to your full potential? Or maybe you're just bored where you are? Our next guest, named Ratha, found herself in a similar situation and wanted to do something about it. It wasn't easy and it wasn't pretty, but she made the decision to gain new skills, including learning French, to see where that would take her. Well, it took her all the way to Bordeaux. Listen as Namratha recounts her steps from her wife life in India to her wine life in Bordeaux. Hello, Namratha. How are you today? Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Tanisha. Thank you so much for inviting me.
No problem. So I want to start with a basic question. Who are you? And what do you do?
Well, I'm a winemaker. I'm a brand specialist. I'm a wine consultant. And I have a company called Wine Equation. I sell happiness to people. So that's what I do.
I like that. Who doesn't want or need a little happiness, especially right now?
Absolutely. And I come from India. I've lived most of my life in India, took a plunge of faith and moved to Bordeaux in 2017 to get into the wine industry, studied a year of wine marketing and management, and just drive straight into it. You know, it was incredible. It was incredible. Well, at first I learned to swim.
Okay.
I learned to float, sorry. And then I started learning to swim, and now I'm swimming.
Hooray! Yes, wonderful, wonderful. So you're in wine now. That is, I think it's safe to say that is not necessarily a career path that many take in India. So what was your first job or your career path?
Well, my interest was always in food and beverage. And so my first job was in a chocolaterie in 2009. This interest, this food and beverage interest, was because also I did hospitality earlier. So when I had chance to take up my first job, after I had gathered enough courage to stand up against the wishes of my husband and his family, because they didn't want women in the family to work. So basically, when I married, I signed off my career. Because they requested me not to work, but it turned a little difficult financially later. But then in 2009, I got got a job in a chocolaterie. It was a part-time job. Chocolate lounges were unheard of in India until an Australian, you know, of Indian origin got into the space. He started a company called Bliss Chocolate and expanded throughout the main cities of India. The company was pretty, you know, in its nascent stages when I joined in. So I worked for 3 days in a week. I conducted orientation sessions, arranged for on-the-job training for new hires and, you know, plan staff development programs and stuff like that. And also because it was new, I did help in the day-to-day operations, like making chocolate and, you know, packing and, you know, taking care of all of that. So I worked with them for a year. They were extremely flexible with working women. I think the fact that this person who employed me came from Australia really, you know, brought a different dimension to, you know, working in this company. So I did work for a year with them, and I went back to my role of being a housewife after that, unfortunately.
Okay.
Because of circumstances.
Right.
So then your life took a turn that you probably didn't expect. What did you do after that? After your life took the turn? Like, because there's a big jump from India to France.
That's right. Yeah. So when I was, okay, let's go back to pregnancy, because when I was pregnant in 2007, I had my baby girl. Mm-hmm. And then after my pregnancy, as most women experience, I had a post-pregnancy depression. I was getting into post-pregnancy depression. So I said, I have to keep away from this. I have to keep my mind occupied. I have to do something, you know, I have to learn a new skill. And I said, German was my first, why not German? Because, you know, I had folks in Germany and, you know, my aunt, she spoke only German. So I said, why not learn German? I could converse with her. But, you know, the Center for Learning German was quite far away. So the closest was Alliance Francaise. So I said, okay, let me look up the internet. Let me learn a little bit, you know, before going into school. So because my daughter was young, I said, I'm going to wait until she's a year older and then go to school regularly. So I think that went very well. So at that time, I started, when she was one, when my daughter was one, I started learning French at the Alliance Française in Bangalore. And what happened was every year for a certain period of time, I would go back to school. But I took coveted trips because my husband's family, they didn't like me working or studying. So they did come to know after a while that I was learning French, but it was too late because I was already in an advanced level.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So why all this? I'll come to you because once I finished with the chocolaterie, I said, what am I doing? I'm a housewife. You know, I was still feeling very unproductive. And in 2013, I said, okay, let me try again to work. And I sent out resumes saying, you know, I know French and I, you know, I've done a little bit of chocolate making and this is me. Well, it was very funny. I was shocked to get a response. A technology company contacted me and they offered me a French speaking role in the IT sector. And I was not an engineer or a technologist, you know, but the company was ready to train me on the same. So I remember at the interview, the manager's exact words, you know, was, I can train you to be an engineer, but I definitely cannot train an engineer to be fluent in French. And that shocked me. I said, oh my God, okay, this is something interesting. I have learned a skill that is going to add value to my career. That was when I really realized what French did to me, to my life. So at the end of the interview, they offered me a month's training in Paris. And oh la la, after learning about France, about, you know, the culture in Alliance Française, it was like a dream to go to Paris. And when he said, you know, you need to train in Paris for a month, I was elated. But my next challenge was convincing my husband and his family. And also because I needed his signature to travel to Paris. Because I needed a no objection certificate from him. because I wasn't working, you know, early. I wasn't at, you know, wasn't paying income tax as such. So eventually we had tough days, a few difficult days, and eventually he did let me go. And Paris definitely was like, you know, a dream. I think everybody's been speaking about Emily in Paris right now at the moment.
Yes.
I haven't watched it myself, but I'm super curious. I will watch it soon. But yeah, like Paris for every girl, it was like a dream. And, you know, when I went there, I felt free. I felt like I was a bird out of the cage.
It's interesting how that is such, like, people have that that feeling when they come to Paris or when they come to France. It's so interesting because while sometimes we get a little frustrated when we see that one view of Paris and we're like, no, that's not really what it looks like. But for some people, it is like that. Whether that's, you know, like you were mentioning, like you saw stars, you felt some emotions. So to you, Paris looks like the Eiffel Tower and all the lights and the Champs-Élysées. Like, that's how you saw all of the city. So sometimes I think when they do Paris in movies, they're just trying to show you, they're trying to give you that same feeling. But it's hard to put that into words because it is just that, a feeling.
Absolutely.
It kind of just takes your breath away. I remember when I first came here. That I was just like, wow, it was just something about it. And I'm glad I hadn't seen a whole lot of movies or had this very romanticized view of it. But coming here, just like, okay, people talk about Paris. I know that's where the Eiffel Tower is. Coming here and then just being able to just experience it without an idea already in my head, it just made it magical for me. So I was like, well, I have to move. So
wow,
you did it. You mentioned that you were taking French to keep your sanity, and then you were baking bread, you were working with chocolate, and then you settled on wine once you got to France.
That's right. I would say it was due to years of my personal turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
There came a time when I needed to restart life from scratch. Unfortunately, I had lost a lot of years not working, and I said, you know, I have to do something that can change my life and I could get stable pretty quickly. At that time, my sister suggested that I go abroad to study, do an MBA or do something that would interest me. She said, follow your passion, you know. So my obvious choice at that time was France. So I looked up the internet to find an MBA course, and I found a very interesting one on wine. It was a marketing and management course on wine. So that was in Bordeaux. So that was the first time I thought, why not Bordeaux? Why not, you know? Why Paris? Why not Bordeaux? You know, I've been to Paris. I've tried it. I love Paris. I love the conviviality, everything, the people, the music, the art and everything. But I love wine, and, you know, Bordeaux could be the place. And when I was younger, I had a professor in hospitality. I had done my hospitality between 2000 and 2004. So we had wine as a subject, and I had a professor who was incredible with wines in India back at that time, when people still didn't know what wine was. So I dived into the wine industry, and it just felt right. It just felt right. But when I left India to get onto the flight, I was extremely skeptical because I was leaving my daughter and my dog. My daughter was 9 at the time and my dog was 11. And, you know, I had mixed feelings when I sat on that flight. I said, what am I doing? You know, the stakes were high. I could not afford to fail. You know, if I fail, then I lose more years. So I said, I just went with my gut feeling, Tanisha. I think, you know, I just closed my eyes. I said, I'm going to do this. And there was this inner voice was saying, let go, let life, you know, take its path. So I just believed in myself. I said, I'm going to do this. And I just went ahead. My parents stepped in. They took care of my daughter. So I was free, you know, in my mind to learn more things and, you know, to focus on learning and education and, you know, and they then later work. So she just happened to come here. She just arrived a month back.
2 months.
Yeah, we've stayed apart since 3.5 years. Yeah. And it was a battle between, you know, bringing her here, and it was difficult with the family not letting go of her. Mm-hmm. But eventually, you know, I stood my ground, she stood her ground, and, you know, she's here. So I'm so, so happy.
Oh, fantastic. And I know it helped you so much to have the support of your family, with them being able to step in and help you out as needed with your daughter and with your dog. And knowing that they kind of had your back, that let you be able to come here and be a little more free. And like you said, to just let go, right?
Absolutely. I think my backbone are my parents, my sister, my sister's husband, my brother-in-law, who's my mentor. He's handheld me throughout these 3.5 years, saying, you can do it. You can do it. Go ahead. My parents have been incredible. My mother has been, you know, taking care of my child and, you know, my dog. So I'm forever grateful for whatever they've done for me. Okay. They're just incredible people.
Okay. So from Bangalore to studying French, visiting Paris, loving it, then later deciding to get your MBA at a school in Bordeaux. Then you come to Bordeaux, you enjoy it, you do well in your studies, you finish your MBA, and then what do you do next?
After my MBA, I was a little worried because I put in my resume. I said, you know, I'm going to send it out. And let's see if, you know, anybody accepts me, and then, you know, I can start working. It was a choice. Either I work or I build business. And during the 1 year of my MBA, I said I'm going to try both at the same time. If I get a job, I go ahead with the job. But if I don't get a job, I still have a business to fall back on. So I started the middle of my MBA. I started, you know, creating Wine Equation. I started researching about wine investments. I started researching about, you know, wine tours, collection wines, auction wines, you know, all of this. So I dived into, you know, a lot of aspects in the wine industry, and I was, you know, testing each one of it to see what's more feasible for me to do at that point of time. It started with wine investments. I tied up with Cult Wines in London, and that was the beginning of Wine Equation. And after that, I started adding little by little, you know, wine tours. I started managing people's cellars. I traveled to meet people. The more I traveled, the more people I met, the more, you know, bonds I created. And I think the fundamental of having a wine business are the people. So you need to build your business from the base with people, your contacts. So that's what I did. And in 2018, when I finished my MBA, I met Corinne, who's a winemaker in the region of Blaye. I was at the Vin Expo, and I remember I met her, and, you know, we had this kind of connection. And I said, can you teach me winemaking? She said, I would be very, very happy to teach you winemaking. Would you like to come and visit my vineyards first? So the next month I visited her vineyards, and she's an amazing, amazing woman. She makes wine. She's the fifth generation of a winemaking family. She makes incredible wines in Blaye. She was telling me, like, she touched every leaf as we walked by, and she said, you know, winemaking is like it's a pregnancy. You take care of yourself for 9 months, and then you you deliver the baby, and then you take care of the baby. So it's like, okay, 9 months, you take care of every grape that's growing, and then, you know, it's like a cycle. So she says every year my baby is born. I make wine, I bottle them, and I'm so happy. I have every year. So, you know, I think her passion just shows in whatever she does, and it's, you know, encapsulated in every bottle she creates. And I really, really wanted to learn how, you know, she did that. And around the same time, I was working also on a branding for a client who wanted a wine, a label of his own. He was from London, and, you know, he was an Indian origin, but in London. So, you know, he came back to me, we discussed a lot, and it was, you know, he was my first customer. And I, you know, I said, I'm doing this. I'm also making wine with Corinne. Can I bring out a label, like a brand separately, to tell, you know, to market it? Then Corinne said, yeah, you should do it. Go ahead. So I created Solicantis after. And since then, it's been, you know, coronavirus and things like that. But it was also this year, I have started, I had started writing a book last year. So I took time to finish the book. And then also push a little bit of sales for Solicantis this year. But this year has been a little low-key.
Have you been dreaming of sitting in a wine bar in Paris again? Well, why not purchase the ebook 75 in the 75? 75 wine bars to visit in Paris. All of my wine bar recommendations and pictures in one place. Tons of photos of the City of Light. Classic or natural wines, big Euros or centimes, we've got all tastes covered in this wine guide. For purchase, visit my website, www.girlmeetsglass.com, and select 75 in the 75 wine guide.
How did you come up with the name Solicantis?
Well, okay, like everybody's problem. Because when you're looking for names, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're bathing, and you're thinking, what can it be? Mm-hmm. So there was one day when I said, you know, I woke up and I said, what is the wine about? You know, what is my wine about? And, you know, this music kept coming to me, this music, you know, I could hear the piano playing, you know, Mozart, and I could, you know, I could envisage wine on a piano, and, you know, and people around it. And I could see the wines growing in the vineyard, the soil. So I said, you know, it has to do something with music. It has to be something with music. So I wanted to put the soil and the music together. And then I looked up different languages. And then I think the Latin made so much sense, because in Latin, soli means soil and cantus means melody. So I think it just, you know, married perfectly together.
I like that.
Thank you so much.
And so then you added Solicantis and the branding to Wine Equation. So like Wine Equation is the umbrella. And then these are all things that are a part of it?
Absolutely, absolutely. So Solicantis is a brand under Wine Equation. It's the first brand, so we will be coming up with two more brands in the future.
Okay. And Solicantis is made, is this the one that's made in, what region is this in Bordeaux?
This is a very beautiful region of Bordeaux, not very visited, unfortunately, or fortunately, because it's a jewel right now. So this is in the Blaye region of Bordeaux. It's on the right bank. It's near the river. So, you know, Philip de Rothschild, he says the best vineyards are inside of the river always. So this, the vineyards are in, you know, just next to the Garonne. Yeah. And, you know, there's a UNESCO heritage site in the same region. So it is visited mostly by French, but not many tourists from, you know, who come from all over the world are really aware of this region. They make great wines. They have the primary grape varieties are Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Malbec. Malbec is like it's a beautiful, beautiful grape. So we have Malbec in Solicantis too.
Okay. So I was going to ask you, because you said Bly was such a jewel, what makes it special to you?
The fact that, you know, I met a winemaker as passionate as Corinne Chevrier from the Bly region. And I started my journey in Bly. And when I started, I knew two people in Bly. And then it became three. Now it's like a whole town. I know people in Bly. So I think wine is all about, you know, people and the joy that, you know, wine brings when we are all around people. It's very close to my heart, Bly.
Now, from a wine standpoint, thinking about Bordeaux and thinking about left bank versus right bank, luckily you found yourself on the right bank. How would you describe this, if you were describing this to someone, how would you describe the styles of the wine on the right bank?
Right bank, they are more fruit forward, I would say. They have the same complexity. They have a lot of complexity, but the wines are a little mellow and it's smooth. The finish is quite smooth. And usually, you know, the right banks, we, you know, in the region of Bly, we use barrels, oak barrels, 18 months minimum. And the wines are, they're quite fruity. The nose is filled with bouquet, red fruits, black fruits. So it's, I would say, if you're looking for something that's drinkable and keepable, go for the right bank.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you can drink now. You can as well keep it for 20 years.
And that's something, I'm glad you said that, because I'd say Bordeaux is one of the more complicated regions, I feel like, for some consumers to really wrap their minds around, because mm-hmm. the wines there are so vastly different between left bank and right bank, and then where you are on each bank, what the blend of the grapes are, and what percentages. People are just like, I don't know necessarily what I will get. So for you to say a wine from Bly is one that they have Malbec in it, which a lot of people know that grape and a lot of people are fans of that. And then they say it's something you can drink now and then also age.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of Bly.
Do you think that Bordeaux has not a problem, but do you think from a marketing standpoint that Bordeaux could do more to kind of help consumers understand and appreciate the wines of that region?
I think what Bordeaux lacks is unity when it comes to wine marketing. Well, there is always this, the Grand Cru and the not Grand Cru, the 1855 classification that has been carved on rock. I've also found producers who are in the region of Margaux who have just a hectare or 2 hectares who have been making excellent wines. So I think somewhere from marketing point of view, I think Bordeaux has, you know, has the crown wherein, you know, everybody knows about Bordeaux. Mm-hmm. The whole world knows about, you know, the first five classifications and especially the first five. But I think the smaller producers, you know, they need to up the game a little bit and do market themselves. Or, you know, I see this a lot. I mean, I shouldn't compare it, but I'm tempted to compare it. I see this a lot in the beer industry because I also sell barrels for the beer industry and the spirits industry. So what we lack here in Bordeaux is like the beer industry, they share everything. They're together in, you know, they're selling together, they're sharing ideas, they're sharing their secret recipes, they're sharing. So as a whole, you know, as a tribe, they are going together, you know, to the market. But in Bordeaux, it's quite divided. So I think that needs to change a little bit.
So as a whole, thinking about moving to Bordeaux and doing your studies there and living your life there and building a brand and making wine, what does Bordeaux represent to you?
Ooh, Bordeaux is represents freedom, freedom of mind, freedom of spirit, And Bordeaux represents convivialité, you know. Every day, in everyday life, you meet people, you have a glass of wine, you know, next to the fireplace, or, you know, you have the table arranged, you know, with beautiful glasses, plates, and beautiful people speaking to each other. And I think that is the best in Bordeaux that I could find. That feeling of, you know, a belonging, the feeling of being valued as a person, and the feeling of having this kind of a lifestyle around wine, I think that is what it represents. Convivialité, in a word.
I love it. And I completely agree. Completely agree with you. I want to hit on one more thing before I let you go. You also have a focus on giving back, and you were able to make a new life for yourself and kind of change the course of your life, and you want to give back. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So when I was a child, maybe, well, I was 8 when I was at the beach on one of my vacations in the east coast of India, and I found a dead baby girl, a newborn baby, on the shore. And I thought it was a doll. So, you know, I was with my cousins, and we all ran towards, you know, her to pick her up. And when I really held her in my hand, I was shocked, and I dropped her without, you know, I as a child, you don't know what to say. You don't know why a baby is lying on the seashore dead. So at that time, you know, I was too young. That memory has never left me. It was because of female infanticide. It was rampant at that time in India. So and later on in stage, I realized that that was the reason why, you know, there were babies. You know, sometimes people found babies on the beach. So I decided that I have to do something. I have to do something. And this is something that is so close to my heart. And I said, how can you take a child's life? How can you take a girl's life? Girls need to, you know, we need more education in this, you know, in India. We need to do more. I cannot be comfortable staying at home saying, you know, I have a beautiful life. I have my daughter here. There are other daughters who need us too. So I said, every bottle of Solicantus that I sell, I will put into educating a girl child in India, because they will in turn educate their children. And, you know, the cycle goes on. So it's very important to educate a girl. Unfortunately, this year I was supposed to go back to India to tie up with an organization, but it's not possible. It wasn't possible this year. So I will do it next year, hopefully, if things are, flights are still working and, you know, I can still travel. But, you know, the 30 cents will be kept for the education of, you know, girl children in India. Yeah, I think the world needs to change.
Agreed. And I think that's a valiant effort. And, you know, let us know how we can support you in any way with that.
Thank you so much. I will let you know for sure.
And final question. You started off at 24, married in Bangalore, and you had an idea of what you wanted for your life and what was a beautiful life then. What is your idea of a beautiful life now?
I think I know that, you know, my life is beautiful right now. Mm-hmm. I have everything around that's surrounding me that is beautiful now. I have my child back here. I have wines. I have beautiful. I have friends. I have the brand. It's like another baby, the brand for me. Mm-hmm. So I have Winey Creation. I'm lucky in a way that, you know, I've come so far. And I need to push for sales a little more. But I think I'm very content in life. And this is life is beautiful for me.
Well, fantastic. I think that is a perfect way to stop there. If we want to buy Solicantus, or if we want to support you or take a tour or find you on the online or social media space, where can we find you?
Well, at the moment, we are looking at signing up with importers in different countries. So the wines will be available soon in different countries, UK, the US, France, of course, it's available. You will find all the details on www.solicantus.fr. So if you go to the website, you will find all the details. We will also, please reach out to us, you know, sign up for the subscription. We will send you emails so you will, you know, you will know what's happening with the brand.
All right. Perfect. Well, again, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, sharing some key points about Bordeaux with us, and just educating us a little more about the wines of France. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tanisha. I had so much fun doing this interview. Thank you so much, and keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Wine School Dropout. You can find more information about Namratha and Solicantus at www.solicantus.fr. www.solicantus.fr.
This podcast was produced by Studio Ochenta, hosted by me, Tanisha Townsend. Our executive producer is Lori Martinez. Our sound editor is Luis Raul Lopez Levi. Our theme was done by Gabriel Dalmaso. Music is by Makai Beats. Our art is by Tiffany DeLune. Follow us at Wine School Dropout on Instagram and check out ochentastudio.com for full transcripts of this and every episode of the show. See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.